I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories. Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. I had the great fortune to sit down recently with Wendy Wasik. Wendy brings more than 20 years of experience providing leadership development, effective communication, and performance coaching to individuals and organizations. She partners with clients to identify and transform unproductive patterns, accelerating their capacity to lead and communicate effectively. Wendy's highly developed intellect around human behavior and critical thinking makes her an exceptional leader. Please welcome Wendy Wasik. Hello, and welcome to the show, Wendy.
Hi.
So happy to be here. I'm so happy to have you here today. I'm fascinated by you, by your background, and what I've gotten to know about you so far. I noticed that you have both a psych undergrad and an organizational dynamics master's degree.
Yes.
I'm fascinated by that. And the reason being is the work you do in your coaching and leadership, to me, like, it's so informed by that earlier education. I feel that it really feeds into a deeper knowing. So just first and foremost, I would love to start our conversation off by getting a better sense of when you were walking through your academic years, you know, what was going on for you and what those paths initially felt like and why you were looking to develop yourself in that way.
That's great. So we get to reach back into history a little bit.
Because I feel like it informs us, right? You know, some of those earlier decisions
and influences.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, there's so many influencing factors that shape who we are today and the journey that we take. You know, I have always been interested in human dynamics. And really from an early age, I've been curious about people and the nuances, even well before I knew what that might mean.
Right.
So that led me to my undergrad degree in psychology. And I originally thought that I wanted to be in the advertising world and understand how people think about products and services, sort of the psychology behind decision making and the choices that people make. And that's really why I went into psychology. I wasn't fashioning myself as a therapist someday, but more so, how could I apply this to business?
Like psychographics, behavioral graphics.
Yeah, exactly.
Love that. Yeah.
So, oddly enough, I did, or maybe not so odd, I did start my career in advertising and marketing, and looking at that human piece. And as my career went forward, I really discovered there wasn't as much of that in what I was doing as I would like. So I really started to look at how could I add more of the human being into my work. And I went to work for a company as their community relations specialist from marketing. And this was really much closer to the bullseye center for me,
right?
Because it had to do with connecting with people, building community relationships, and really there was a lot of what I would call heart-based work, you know, connecting at that very human level, even though it was still business. And I felt like, okay, we're getting warmer.
Now, did you find in those earlier years, and I feel like we talk so much more about that openly today, but that's not to say that that's making it original today, because clearly this has been, you know, a profession and an area to explore for a very long time. So would you say that when you first started and were getting into just the human side, the way humans contribute and navigate and really then create the path, whether it's for brands or for organizations, would you say that there was a open-heartedness toward understanding how humans were contributing? Or would you say that companies were still far more aligned in their own mission as opposed to the way in which humans would then kind of shape and shift what that meant for a goal or for a mission? Because I get the feeling that we have on one half of that equation, organizations looking to have a mission statement, and this is the way they're going to drive forward. And so they bring in participants, players, employees to help drive that mission forward. Whereas now today, those lines are even becoming a bit blurred because everyone's sort of contributing and trying to make sense of it the way that the world is changing, the way that people are changing. So how were those earlier days? What did that look like? Were people open to this idea?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I imagine that it would look differently depending on what organization you were looking at. And what industry, and even which leaders and which individuals.
Sure.
I think, you know, something that you pointed to that is very accurate is, you know, nowadays, particularly right now, I feel like things are getting broken wide open.
Yeah.
And we are seeing so much more humanity and compassion and empathy, in all sorts of different ways. And I am a huge proponent of that. I just feel like, yes, open your arms and welcome it in. It's that we are all human beings who show up in our passions, in our professions, in our work. And so the fact that that's getting amplified, I think is wonderful. But to go back to your original question, I do think things were a little more conservative, you know, and certainly in the mainstream. And I think as individuals, we're getting a little bit more comfortable showing that human side, that you know, that tenderness that's there. And
sure.
That doesn't mean that we're diminishing in any way who we are as professionals or as leaders.
Sure.
You know, I think we're finding that society is evolving in a direction where we can have both of those. And in fact, acknowledging a robust quantity on both sides really puts you on the path for the most effective outcomes.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. And I am seeing that from so many different professionals. I mean, whether I'm reading articles or navigating those conversations with, you know, friends of mine in my own tribe, I do sense that there is a bit more of collaborative dialogue occurring, whereas that may not have always been the way in which we've structured ourselves professionally and set forth. I'm impressed with the work that you do by guiding and coaching leaders and companies into their most successful tracks, into being really high performing. Share with me a little bit about the work that you do and, you know, how you navigated and got into that after you had an earlier career and then navigated into your own space and doing, you know, creating your own business out of that.
It's interesting. You know, my own career path, I found that it became nearly impossible for me to not jump in and start to pay attention to supporting people in their performance and being their best selves. If I think back in positions I had earlier in my career, even though that wasn't my job title, I ended up doing that. And I ended up getting known for it. And people were referring people to me within the organization saying, you really should talk to Wendy about that. And what is her insight? Or what does she see? Or she'll ask great questions.
And I love
and
that.
I guess, right. And I started to pay attention to that. And I thought, wow, you know, what's here and how can I expand on this? And maybe this is my calling. And I did, you know, I've always, as I said earlier, I've always been very curious. So I've done a lot of work in transformation and self-discovery and all sorts of different things like somatic learning and, you know, less traditional paths. I think it's one of the things that I feel very fortunate that if I look at my background and my education, I have very formal education. And I also have things that are very diverse, like Eastern philosophy and having studied mindfulness and, like I said earlier, transformation and ontology and looking at neuroscience and its impact on human being and choice and, you know, chemicals in the brain and how that influences fear and opportunity that we see, etc. And I feel like there's no one size fits all. And you never know when you're sitting down with an individual, a team, or an organization, what information you will draw upon that's going to make the difference.
Right. No, I love that. I mean, I think with your both your background in education, clearly your deep curiosity and constant research, if you will, and adventure of digging deeper into the way humans work and think has absolutely led you to be the successful executive coach that you are today and bring so much to the table, not to dismiss what others might do in the field. I just find that when you've invested to the degree and you've educated yourself to the depth that you have, you can, at that point, like you just described, sit down with an open mind and heart, knowing that you don't know what's about to come towards you or come at you. You don't know what challenges are going to be presented, but you're really ready for it. And you're really ready for it to be something that is unlike what you may have already worked through or managed before. But coming with coming with that open mind and heart is what you actually bring that's so extraordinary, because you're not looking to just say, oh, that's the problem, let me pick up this solution and drop it on your desk. You're really creating something that's fresh and very specific and very custom to whatever challenge is on the table and in front of you. And I imagine, you know, you're really guiding people into the best parts of themselves so that they can make the connections internally, so that they can make proper decisions based on what's really at stake and what's really in front of them, instead of letting the heartbeat in their ear or the anxiety in their head and heart and mind and body kind of overtake them and lead them down wrong paths, you know?
Absolutely.
The recentering that they just cannot get on their own, and they do need that guidance and that expertise.
Yeah. And I would say to that, you know, we all need that. You know, maybe need is not the right word. I would say that we can all benefit from that.
Absolutely.
You know, having somebody who can ask questions from a different perspective, having someone who can ask questions who, you know, they're not mired in the details or the history, the dynamics, the silent agreements, all of the, you know, influencing factors that really shape what you see, and really shape the amount of options that you see before you. I think it's one of the reasons that executive coaching is so valuable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Something else you said earlier, if I may, you were talking about emerging. You know, it's funny because early on I realized that this was not so much for me, and I just, of course, only speaking for myself, it was not so much about defining a methodology, which I would then map on to individuals and organizations. It was more about being fully present in the moment to see what was arising before me, to hear in what people were saying that would, you know, strike a chord and lead to a question, or allow me to inquire further with that individual. Or just as importantly, what was not being said. There's often times when you sit down with a team and there are certain conversations that team is having, what becomes evident is the conversations that are not being had.
Absolutely.
And I think the only way that you can really hear that and then have a meaningful dialogue that can break things open such that people see things in new ways is by being in the moment purely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, listening to what is said and unsaid is huge in terms of being able to determine what's really at stake here, what's really on the table, and what needs deeper inspection.
Yes.
And I imagine there's a whole lot that comes immediately to you when you're in those settings where you can start making these mental notes. Okay, we might have some communication issues, or okay, we might have some fear, you know, lots of fear comes into play in those circumstances. Sometimes people are afraid of hurting each other's feelings or what have you, but absolutely to be able to flesh that out. Yeah, no, I personally find that fascinating. I also, as a coach in wellness and lifestyle matters, often find myself in a similar situation where I'm paying very close attention to what people are sharing. And then of course, what they are unwilling to, or maybe are unaware of. And there's a lot to be said about just coming in fresh ears, no judgments, no preconceived notions of what is, and just
absolutely
taking them each as new circumstances, right?
And I think, by the way, that's a practice as a coach, you know, constantly stepping out of and letting go of beliefs and preconceived ideas, as you said, perceptions. We all have them. We're actually hardwired in our survival and our very biology to make assess a circumstance in a nanosecond. Is it safe? Will I survive? I mean, that's at the very fundamental core of who we are. But developing the muscle, if you will, to recognize how that's at play and how it can influence, and being able to step out of that, or and when it comes up, to be able to acknowledge it and say, okay, and we're just going to put that on the shelf. Thanks for sharing. And now I'm going to be present and really listen without that sort of filter between you and me. And the filter being all those ideas, those beliefs or perceptions or any of those things.
Right. No, absolutely. They cloud the vision.
Yeah.
And really, they stop us from being able to address what's in front of us in a clear way. And we can easily miss things then, right? We can miss a lot in that moment.
And when you think about it,
I always feel that anyone who's quick to respond when they should be still taking in information, that would set up off a red flag for me. If someone were making a quick solve or quick judgment on a situation too prematurely, I think that would alarm me, actually.
Yes, that might be alarming.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's a little bit like if you think about a windshield, and if you're driving through mud puddles and you're getting the mud on the windshield, there are going to be certain areas that you cannot see the vista. There may be turns in the road that you just can't see,
right,
or potholes that you can't avoid because there's a covering there. And so that filter that I was referring to earlier is a little bit like that. And so it's the opportunity to begin to challenge, inviting people to challenge their own thinking and their own beliefs to see where there have been decisions or conclusions that have been drawn that now shut down that visibility in that direction, whereby that is no longer available.
Right.
And maybe that direction isn't appropriate for the next 20 choices, if you will. But that's not to say that that direction is never a viable direction to take.
Right.
But if you don't have the sight line for it, it's never available to you. So I feel like this is always about expanding that capacity so people really can see everything before them and then make the choices from there.
Yeah, having choices. That's what we absolutely want in this life as humans. I think that's very natural, is to never feel like we have no choice, which I think kind of ties a little bit into right now.
Today, I was going to say the same thing.
Oh,
I think,
boy.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, we'll say it out loud for anyone listening, because we are just at the tail end of April 2020. We are still in the midst of the COVID-19 virus, and it has shifted and changed much of what we do and what we're used to and the choices that we normally have in our lives. And so I have to wonder how much change and shift you not only obviously do you see, but your own practices and the way that you're guiding clients and coaching executives, this clearly is, it's not just the impact to do the work, but it's changing the way in which you are doing your work and how you're informing your clients based on the conditions of the world. And so I'd love to hear a little more about what that's been like for you.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is the fact that I think the very first thing that is changing in that list is that we are changing as individuals. And we're, you know, some of that change is by choice, because we are getting curious and we're asking new questions of ourselves. And some of it, as you pointed to earlier, is not by choice. It's because there are boundaries and limitations and uncertainty on multiple levels. And so I'm noticing that, you know, people are asking questions from a completely different framework as individuals and leaders of what's important to them, how they want to show up, what kind of leader do they want to be, what are the lessons that they are learning in this current moment, the lessons and that they want to take forward afterwards, or what are they discovering about themselves that they're ready to put down? They yeah. no longer want to carry that in their leadership toolkit, or let's broaden it really in their human toolkit. It's like, you know what? I've had enough of that. I don't need to carry that forward.
Yeah. That's exciting for you, I would imagine, because you're so much about human behavior. You're so much about the evolution of decision-making and thought process. So take me back to a time when that was actually the lesson for you to learn, because, you know, you are doing all this amazing work, understanding the way in which people think and behave. And so you're able to give this expert guidance, but clearly you as an individual and human yourself have to go through some of your own periods of learning that or facing your own adversity and challenging times. And so talk to me a little bit about, you know, the times in your life when you've had to learn those lessons and how you've now brought some of that through to you, your work you do today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all of us have life lessons, right?
Yes. And, yes.
And I always say that, you know, some life lessons are like 2x4s, you know, it's not a gentle knock. It's more of a smack. So, you know, I guess, you know, the one that comes to mind that was really the most transformational on every level for me was occurred, believe it or not, 10 years ago. And I started to experience these very strange symptoms. They were neurological in their expression. And it was very concerning. I was actually traveling out of the country with one of my best friends. We were celebrating a big birthday. I won't name which one, but
we
were celebrating
that.
A birthday in Italy. And I don't know about you, but generally speaking, I don't generally eat dessert-based products like cookies for breakfast and pizza for lunch and then pasta for dinner and then do it day in and day out.
Sure. You know, but when in Italy.
Life, right? Exactly. In my normal life, that's a treat. But when you're in Italy, come on, right? So there I am with my friend and I just really started to present with some very strange symptoms like tremors and dizziness and you know, just general not feeling well on a pretty epic nature. And it was very, very scary. And little did I know at the time, that was the beginning of what was to be a 2.5 year journey to figuring out what the cause was. And yeah. And
that's a
and
long that was time. A, that's a long time to
it
be.
It is really a long
a question
time.
Question mark. Yes.
Huge. And, you know, we were talking earlier about today, you know, the degree of uncertainty that we're feeling and that conjures up memories of that time for me and really a profound sense of uncertainty of what is going on. You know, of course, returning to the States and seeing doctors, et cetera, and not really having many answers. So, you know, 2.5 years later and literally a dozen different doctors later, I was diagnosed with celiac disease, which was why I was referencing Italy and
eating the carb load.
Right, gluten-based products for every meal. So essentially, I was, you know, on a gluten overload for sure, not knowing that I had celiac disease. And, you know, it's important to recognize that as with any autoimmune disease, which celiac is, it is expressed differently in each person. So some people may have very mild symptoms, you know, no symptoms, extreme symptoms. It really runs the gamut. I guess I drew the short straw because my symptoms were pretty extreme. And as I said earlier, they were really in the neurological side, which is why it took so long to get diagnosed. Okay. They were looking down a whole different path. Talk about looking down one track, right? But during that time, it was a complete and utter reinvention of myself. And my first year and a half into this, I continued to have the mindset that this is mind over matter. Wow. And it's mind over body. So I would continue to put myself out there and to push and work and exercise. And even if it seemed like maybe this was not the best thing to be doing, right? Because I just, my whole life, I had been in this context called mind over matter. Mm-hmm. And then a year and a half into this journey, I discovered, okay, you know what? I'm stepping back and my body is now going to decide what I do and what I don't do. And that was a huge transition
so
for me.
Huge. It is paramount huge. When you can wake up one day and say, I don't have this anymore. Like I can't win this battle doing what I've been doing and trying exactly. to push through in this way. I have to pull the plug on plan A and I must resort to a next plan. This isn't working.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know how that relates to not only the work that I do with clients, but also what I see clients facing. Is it's what got you to where you are today is not necessarily what's going to bring you into the future or That's bring right. you to the new outcome. So that drive, persistence, mind over matter, do more perspective, you know, that I had 10 years ago, you know, that got me to where I was, and that was great, but it was no longer working. It was literally bankrupt. It was not going to work. And I often say it's one of the silver linings of this experience, because I really do not think I would have stopped and paused as deeply as I did and learned how to set boundaries, to listen to my body. I just don't think I would have learned that, certainly not at that age. It has developed in me. I feel like celiac disease has transformed me from the inside out.
Right.
You know, not only am I gluten-free, but I'm a completely different person.
Right.
And the ways in which I'm different and the ways in which I know myself and have compassion for myself, I am able to extend that to others, and also listen for where it might be missing in others in a way that would make a difference, not to take it in the direction of psychology, but it was a profound insight for me.
No, but it makes a lot of sense when we can recognize and learn something about ourselves and then yes, learn how to have self-compassion and self-love and take the steps to actually nurture self.
Yeah.
That is to me, that's like the only way that we can best give it out. I feel like giving all of those things when we haven't learned how to give them to ourselves, there's a disconnect there. It's almost like playing basketball with a blindfold on.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see how you can aim at the cup that you're looking to fill if you haven't already learned how to fill your own. So yeah. And then it does inform you of how to work with others and how to listen, right? We go back to the yeah. work that you do and the importance of listening and taking in what's spoken and unspoken in a given situation. And I think it must have deeply informed you in those areas
deeply.
In a way you hadn't yet arrived at. You know, you were right. doing wonderful, but you now are taking it to the next level, essentially.
Yes, I agree. And really so much of it is almost not describable.
Right.
Like the words that we use, it kind of gets you in the ballpark, but sure. it's not really it. And you know how that relates also to today is I'm hearing a lot from people about, you know, some folks, of course, you know, have their careers have really slowed down, come to a standstill. You know, many people have lost their jobs and then on the flip side, there are folks who are working three times as much. they're in complete and utter overwhelm with 15-hour days. And it's the contrast between industries and is just extraordinary. But for those who are in overwhelm mode, learning, they're really pressed up against that uncertainty and fear of the time and the overwhelm, and really struggling to define boundaries.
Absolutely.
And pause and time for rejuvenation, and you know, just that recovery time.
Absolutely. We all require rest and the need to recalibrate daily. Yeah. I mean, you can't just wait for a vacation or wait for that short period of time off. I think the reason we don't all get to enjoy vacation the way we'd like to is because maybe we aren't getting it daily. So I agree with you. When you're on overload, there's a whole bunch of learning and coaching that could be, you know, fortuitous, mm-hmm. in navigating self-care and just being able to take a breath or get better rest, you know, anything that can reset the dial for you. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's important to recognize there are two sides to this. I mean, there are folks, let's take, you know, the brave and courageous professionals in the healthcare industry who are on the front lines. You know, the fact that they are able to step up and to be present and to be supporting patients and patients' families in that degree, et cetera, is so critical. So we're not necessarily saying that those folks are going to have to dial back. This is that moment in their career where they really are in overdrive, but even finding those moments of stillness, whether it's, you know, to be really present with your family, your children, or even just yourself in meditation, just a pure moment of stillness, some form of recovery is so critical.
Yeah. So I often will suggest this to clients, but also even when I'm on the show, I'll often say, even if it's when you're standing in the shower, to, you know, close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. You know, sometimes that's the only moment that people have, or for beginners might be understandable in the steps toward meditation or a greater process that can bring that kind of current setting, staying present and recognizing yourself just in that moment alone. We have to all start somewhere.
You know, but you're right. We have to put a pin in the map somewhere.
Definitely.
And the important piece is making that first step. It doesn't even matter what that step is, how it looks. It's just making that effort. And I was going to say that, you know, oftentimes, you know, the moment in the shower, we're running through 1,000 ideas and checklists and even undefined self-judgment about what we didn't do yet, what we could have done differently, what, you know, there's just how, if you really think about how many moments of pure stillness in the present moment do we grant ourselves?
Not enough, as far as I'm concerned, not enough. And it's the reason I preach and push through the message of, even if it is just standing in the shower, or even if it is just while you are, you know, getting dressed, or even if it is while you're just, you know, having your coffee or your tea, like whatever it is, whatever moment you can find stillness to not run through the list of things that you either have to do or have yet to accomplish, just stop. Just stop. It means taking a walk or putting on music that you enjoy just to bring yourself into the present moment. Those are really good things to do too. I mean, sometimes we need that to bring ourselves into present, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's kind of like, it's no different than building that muscle at the gym. You don't waltz into a gym. Most of us, I'm sure there's somebody out there, but most of us, I know I don't, I'll waltz into the gym and grab that 50-pound weight and start curling.
Exactly.
That's not happening.
Right.
You know, it starts small and you build it. And even following that analogy, even if you're picking up the 3-pound weight, right, it's uncomfortable. You're self-conscious. Your form is probably, know, and it's just awkward and it's not natural. But with the continued practice, you, all of those things start to come in place and the weight starts to come up and hey, notice that you start to get biceps.
That's
and
it.
You know, your arms getting toned. And I think that practicing those moments of stillness, meditation, whatever it is you want to, you know, call it, is very much like that.
Absolutely.
Start
slow and
small
steady.
And build from there.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Slow
and what
steady.
A great time to be doing that, by the way, in our current circumstance.
If you are afforded this time for that kind of pause, I absolutely think it's a blessing. And we have to look at it, like you had mentioned earlier, as this being, there being a silver lining in all of this, because we're doing hopefully the best that we can. And we're getting what we can out of this from a learning moment. And it's no time like the present to start those habits, right? My goodness.
And yes, absolutely. And I love, I want to like highlight that, what you just said, doing the best that we can.
That's it.
We are all doing the best that we can. Yeah. There is no rule book for the current circumstance
there
for sure.
Definitely.
And
is
really
not.
If you think about it, there's really no rule book to living your life at any moment.
That's right.
It is a creative process, a moment to moment, how you choose and how you think. So granting yourself permission and the space to do as you do, and then if you reflect and say, I think I'll do that differently going forward, or this could look different, or I'm not thrilled with that. It's like, okay, life is for learning. How do we learn and go forward from there versus getting stuck in some of the judgment and self-criticism that can occur?
Be kind to yourself.
Like perfectionist syndrome and all of those things.
Just be kind
to
yourself.
Be kind to yourself.
Every day is a new day. You get to, like you said, reflect on what choices and decisions and practices you had yesterday. And if there's anything that you would like to change, or it didn't feel right, or it could be done differently, great. Today's a new day. Let's try that again. Let's try it in a different way. And so I feel like that's a really good way to sort of echo out our own practices and share with others the way in which we are living and guiding our own paths forward. And so I guess in just sort of bringing it full circle, like what other advice do you have, or what other, you know, great item can you impart on the listeners for the way in which they're navigating forward in their leadership roles, in their professional space? Because I really want to grab a nugget that could be helpful from that seat, from that part of you.
Well, of course, I'm being influenced by the last bit of our conversation here. And I'm not in the business of giving advice, but I would, this notion of kindness, and the other word that comes to mind is grace. You know, where can we have more grace for ourselves and for others? Because that really does bring forward understanding, kindness, compassion, empathy. And as I said earlier, none of that is an exchange for brilliance and focus and action and results. It is not. These two are not separate. And I think that we as individuals and we as leaders, the degree to which that we can really embody both of those things and bring more grace with all the kindness, et cetera, I think is really a valuable lesson. And I really do, from the bottom of my heart, I hope that is something that we will have in abundance and a lot more of. We can never have enough of that, right?
We can never have enough of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's
business,
a really
humanity doesn't anywhere.
No, that's a really good way to look at it. And I agree with you. I hope that's exactly what we get out of this time. I hope we see more community and more collaborative effort to be kind and to be compassionate and see each other as people that we are.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
That's excellent. Well, I'm so glad we got to talk today.
And me too.
I know, it was great. And before we end, I just want to make sure that we say out loud where people can find you for your expertise. And I'll obviously include it in the show notes as well.
Oh, thank you. So people can find me, probably the easiest way is on my website at wasikconsulting.com.
Yeah. Excellent. And I thank you for being here.
Awesome. Thank you, Susan, for inviting me. Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.